This portion of the show is brought to you by Namarco's Pizza. Order online at namarcospizza.com.
This is the Jeff Orvid Show.
All right, let's talk Bidenomics, Bagelomics, and 36% inflation. That's my number that I came up with in purchasing this little gem right here, this bagel from, we're going to get this from Safeway, 99 cents each.
I've been telling you.
I know. Well, I don't go shopping very much. So when I go, I think it's more obvious to me than it is to you. Yeah. Because I go every few weeks, maybe I'll stop by. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, I'm picking these things out. You know, first
They've
I get
been 99 cents for a little while. That didn't overnight.
Okay, but so, I guess I haven't paid attention until today. Maybe they made it more pronounced that, hey, this thing is 99 cents. So I grabbed a little plastic, you know, the little, what is that, cellophane wrap thing?
You know, thing the thing you use to grab it?
Yeah, which I think is totally stupid because you're still going to whack the other ones when you're going in there, right?
And so, your arm still hits.
Yeah, this is all for show. So maybe they could lower it to 97 cents if we stop with that nonsense. They used to have the little tongs, but I guess people don't like to use those anymore either. So I'm like 99 cents for this thing. And I'm thinking back and it's like, I swear these were like 59 cents, 69. Can we go with something like that? Mm-hmm. 59, am I right? I mean, you're the one that, I'm talking like two, three years ago.
Yeah.
And it's gone up that much. So my simple math says that it's inflated about 36%.
Yeah.
Approximately 36% in 3 years. How can
that be though? Because they insist that it's like 4% or whatever.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't believe them.
Well, they take out food and stuff like that. So I was just like, whoa, this is no wonder why. I mean, Biden's going around the country. He's acting like he's touting Bidenomics. You know, he's touting this thing. And it's like, it's an epic fail. And there's a report that came out today from the U.S. Census Bureau that says poverty is skyrocketing. It's gone from 7.8% to 12.4% under the first 2 years. This is for first 2 years of Biden's term. And there's now over 37 million people living in poverty. Mm-hmm. 37 million people. And he's out there touting Bidenomics.
Yeah.
This guy's brain freeze, total brain freeze going on. Inflation adjusted, the median household income has dropped by just this last year, 2.3%. So people are also making, you know, adjusting for inflation. They're making 2.3% less than last year.
Right. Because it's like
crazy.
It would be nearly impossible for employers and anyone who signs the front of the check to keep up with this inflation with the wages. Yeah.
They just can't keep up with it. One thing that this report from the Census Bureau came up with that was, it's boomers, and we've touched on this a lot lately, baby boomers and older generations are seeing the least effect, the least impact on this. And that ties in with what we've really been talking about lately, which is there's probably a great change coming because you look at the millennials and, you know, Gen Zers and the younger folks and even Gen Xers to a degree. And they're looking at it and saying, well, yeah, you don't want the status quo to change. Dianne Feinstein, who can barely think anymore, and a Biden and these other really old people that are in there, they don't really want that to change because it's been a true benefit to them.
Right.
Yeah. And the system, though, has changed so much that younger people are having a really hard time. And I think you're going to see that play out in the next couple of years. Yeah, but 99 cents. And they're not even that good. I mean, if we're honest about this, I'm from New York originally.
Yeah.
This would be like, where was that place in, where were we, Missouri? Where we got some Mexican food?
Oh, yeah.
What was that thing called? It doesn't matter. St. Joseph's, right?
Yeah, Missouri.
They had a sign outside that said best Mexican food in Missouri, right?
And I think it was in the city, but
whatever, right? And I was like, it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
No. But this bagel, if you were to take it back to like New York or something, you'd be chased out. It'd be like that Missouri Mexican food in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like 99 cents. And I wonder what it is back there. It's probably even more. It's always been more expensive back there. So something's really out of whack. Because, I mean, I was thinking back when we bought our first house, and this was back in 99?
Yes, 99.
90, approximately $90,000, give or take.
A little more, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Close enough. I like to round.
Yeah.
Because I'm simple, and I just can do simple math,
yeah,
unlike our politicians.
Like total junker, one of the cheapest places in Flagstaff.
Yeah, this
Jeff's like, we got to find like the cheapest place we can.
Yeah, I was like, we don't have any money, and we
had just to get our foot in the door and get in a place. Yeah,
because and Mark Howard and I were talking about this yesterday. We were told our parents and, you know, folks were telling us, do whatever you can to buy a house. So I was like, that was like the number one priority. And I was trying to remember back, you know, we got married in 98 and we must have started saving before we even got married. I mean, it must have been on our mind that, hey, we're going to get married and we got to get a house shortly after. It couldn't have been a year later, right?
I mean, that was less than a year.
So Mark Cowett was saying yesterday that the average age of people getting into their first home now, like buying their first home, is 36.
Oh, really?
36 years old. And yeah. I can see why. I mean, it's getting really out of whack and out of touch.
Well, people aren't getting married till later.
That's
and
true,
then
too.
You know, maybe they either don't own a house on their own or it takes them a while once they get married to then save money.
Yeah, if you got
a down payment.
Yeah. So we came up with 10%.
Right.
I believe.
Correct.
It was approximately, you know, this jives with your 90,000 figure because I remember it was about 10 grand. Mm-hmm. And we had saved up for multiple years. I think we were fortunate enough to get maybe a couple $1,000s for the wedding, you know, that we were able to save up to. And we were just like, we're not going on any, you know, we didn't do anything really. Yeah. We just kind of worked and stuff. So we bought that house for $90,000. It was a junker. We had to, you know, gut it. We spent 2.5 years
just remodeling. It was like the original
sweat equity
kitchen, the original linoleum flooring.
Yeah.
It was like a pink color on the outside. It was really ugly.
It was gnarly.
Color.
Yeah.
Nothing in the yard except an old engine and junk that we had to remove.
Yeah. An old engine. You should have kept that thing.
I know,
the engine's
right?
Probably worth something right now.
But yeah, nothing in the yard besides weeds and...
Well, our payment on that was $650 approximately per month in 1999, and I think we made about $40,000 per year. That may be high, but
yeah,
I think
I really don't remember.
Yeah, I think we were about $40,000 per year. We were both working certain – you were still working. I was doing a lot of side gigs and this and that, right? So I calculate that it cost us – or it took about 20% of our income went to housing back then. Mm-hmm. It's probably a little higher because I'm not including the price on property taxes and, you know, some of the upkeep and utilities. But let's just go with straight up. What is the mortgage cost? I believe that mortgage that we had was 7 or 8%. I think it was closer to 8%. That was the norm back then. And ironically enough, almost 25 years later here, I was just talking with Kelly Broaddus last week. She was on the program. And she said that interest rates have once again spiked to around the 8% on a 30-year, which everybody's like, whoa, that's so much. But that was very normal back then. Of course, the homes were a lot cheaper, though. So anyway, $90,000, 20% of our income went to housing. That same house, I looked it up on Zillow, 25 years later, is estimated at $600,000.
Wow.
We should have kept the 8%. I mean, we're almost 30. If you had kept the 30-year.
At the time, we considered keeping it and renting it out, but we really needed the equity for a down payment on our new house, or not new, but new to us house.
Yeah.
And we just didn't know a way to keep own two houses. We just didn't know how to do it at the time.
We learned that later. But
now I'm like, oh, I wish we still had that because
how many people?
Six times what we bought it for.
How many of you out there are thinking that too? Because you may even have stories where I bought that home for $23,000.
Yeah, my parents say, oh, our first house was $25,000, you know, in 1972 or whatever it was. And
I point this out for a few reasons because, and I'm not your financial advisor. I actually, if you're listening to podcasts, have a disclaimer at the bottom now. I won't read it to you. You never know.
No one
nowadays.
Else will read it either, but it's there.
It's there. It's there. Anyway, I do it for a couple of reasons. To point out the power of time and inflation, because it's huge. I mean, had we kept that house and we still had, we would still have that 30-year fixed mortgage at 650.
It might be almost paid off.
Well,
it
almost, another 5 years would be paid off, but we'd be paying $650 per month on a home that probably rents for $3,000, let's just call it $3,000. Mm-hmm. You know, back then you couldn't have gotten 650, you know, you'd barely break even, but that's what happens over time. Our homes that are now selling for, and what did Kelly say? I think that 700 and something is the median price now. Let's just take this $600,000 home. In 25 years, is it going to be, what is this, a factor of 8 here on $90,000? $90,000 times 8?
Well, that'd be 720.
Yeah, no, that's 720. Okay, so six factor of almost six.
Six or seven.
Okay. Seven. Let's just, so is your $600,000 home, you know, in 25 years with inflation and all that, even a factor of six, is it going to be 3.6 million? That sounds crazy because you think $3.6 million home now. And it's like Kelly was talking about, it's on the golf course and it's, you know, this marvelous home.
Right.
But I think 25 years from now, you'll be like, yeah, my home's 3.6 million. But people who are buying really nice homes, it'll be like 25 million or something
exactly,
like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the time, there's no way we could have imagined that it would ever be worth $650,000.
No.
Ever.
Of course, I mean, we could hit a deflationary bust. Yeah. And it could change, but we've had housing deflation in this. I mean, we've had times where it's gone way down.
Exactly.
So again, right. I'm not saying where this is going or anything like that. I do it to point out that, you know, we're looking back in time and we since have bought other real estate and held onto it and rental properties. So, you know, it's worked out good for us, but yeah, it's gone up that much. Now back to my original point of, you know, Bidenomics here and something's seriously wrong in this country. People can't afford that. You're talking let's say the household income right now is $74,000. The median household income. That's what it is in America right now. And let's say you wanted to buy this $600,000 house now. That interest rate at, I think I figured at 8% is 38. If you come up with 10% down, so $600,000 home, $60,000 down, right? The payment on that is now $3,800 per month with that 10% down. So that is about, if you're making the median income household in America right now, that's 60% of your income going to housing.
Wow.
They wouldn't even give you the loan.
Yeah. You
wouldn't even qualify.
You wouldn't make your, you couldn't have any lifestyle
to
do that. You wouldn't have enough money. It's just not.
You wouldn't be able to buy bagels. You know, the overpriced bagels here.
Well, your car, you know,
car
all
payment.
The other expenses in life, you couldn't.
Yeah. And we didn't even have like, we had antenna.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have,
there was no, might have had a cell phone by like 2001. I'm not sure. Early 2000s started coming in. So you didn't have
those. That was back in the time where it was like $25 a month and that.
Yeah,
was
I don't adjust it for inflation. Yeah. Maybe it was more back then. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's just something's out of whack. And you go back to what I was talking about with Bidenomics, and you've got boomers and older generations, and I'll include me and Angela on that to a degree, not fully yet or anything. We're not getting a discount on the coffee yet or anything. But, you know, we've been in this. We're in this. I wonder the next crisis, what those younger folks and what the kids have been taught. A lot of kids are taught socialism and, you know, there's something seriously wrong with the system. So we've got to go after those people with the money. Mm-hmm. We can't get in a home, you know? So, so what's the attitude going to be? What kind of policies are going to be, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when people just can't afford this stuff. They can't get into the market. So it's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I worry about our kids and I mean, one of our kids is an adult now and I mean, she would be nowhere close to
able
to afford buy a house. There's just no way.
Now, in fairness, this has become a discovered place. So there are plenty of places you can go.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Somebody recently told us, you know, they're looking at a house that's like in a $400,000 range in Arizona. Mm-hmm. That's a new home. And I'm like, $400,000, you couldn't touch that. You can't even touch.
Oh, yeah, no.
You can't find a junker like we found.
Yeah.
So we are kind of in a little bit of a bagel bubble here as well.
Right.
So we were young
and we were able to get
We were able to do it. And I don't see how they,
on a lower income scale.
Yeah.
We were able to do it.
Yeah.
But people now making what you said couldn't do it like we did.
Yeah. So anyway, just some food for thought. Bidenomics. This is not working out good. And I don't just blame him though. I blame people before that. I blame people who voted for all this stimulus. Mm-hmm. You know, we've spent the 2000s at war, trillions of dollars, like $10 trillion, you know, in overseas adventures. We've spent $10 trillion on COVID. So what do you expect? Right. I mean, this is what you're going to get, massive inflation.
Well, the problem is they think that, or a lot of people think that the government now needs to fix it, which is they caused the problem and now they've got to fix it. Well, they won't fix it. I'll guarantee you that.
No, they will make it worse. Yeah. All right. I'd love your thoughts. Maybe you got an example you can share. I always love when people say, I bought my first house or my first car or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, I have bought and owned physical gold and silver for many years. You all know that. And with the economy the way it is, just talking about the craziness of the Bidenomics, how high inflation is, isn't it at least about time that you learn more about physical gold and silver, owning physical gold and silver? Look, I bought physical gold and silver from Justin and his family-run team at Desert Gold Exchange for many years. They'll get it delivered to you anywhere you're at in just a couple of days. And here's the thing. They are going to have some of the lowest prices out there because they keep their overhead low. They pass those savings on to you. Call Desert Gold Exchange right now. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. They're going to treat you like gold when you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. And plus, you'll get a free investor's kit if you want that. Here's the number for Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Back in a minute. All right, so the New Mexico governor, what's her name, Grisham, she's been now fully humiliated, I hope. Yeah. This was last Friday. We talked about it on Monday's program. New Mexico Governor Grisham put on a gun ban in the Albuquerque and that county, whatever it's called, right around there. Because there's been all kinds of crime and violence and this and that. This is what happens in Democrat-controlled states,
right,
and cities and areas. I mean, it's happening more and more all over the place, but especially in those areas. And their solution is continuously to disarm the law-abiding people. That's their first go-to. It's let's get rid of the guns for the people that obey the law.
Yeah. Their reaction is always the opposite of what should be done, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, what I'd like them to do is kind of like what some of the sheriffs have done, especially like in Florida, you see this, and there's like a hurricane or something, and the sheriff says, you know, if someone comes on your property, just shoot them, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's they say stuff like that, and they're like, if they come on your property and they're trying to loot and things like that, you know, commit crimes, I should clarify. so she came out and said, you can't carry concealed and you can't carry open carry in Albuquerque for 30 days under a health emergency, right? Democrats have been coming out saying this is totally unconstitutional, violates the Second Amendment. Now the Attorney General, which I would imagine the Attorney General of New Mexico, you might want to look this up, Attorney General of New Mexico, I would imagine is a Democrat. You're not getting elected to a statewide office in New Mexico unless you're a Democrat. Attorney General said, simply put, I do not believe that the emergency order will have any meaningful impact on public safety, but more importantly, I do not believe it passes constitutional muster. And he goes on to say, I am not going to enforce this thing. You know, we're not doing anything.
Seems like he would have advised her of that. the governor in the first place.
They're supposed to. They're supposed to be there to help. Not only, they're supposed to be your attorney, basically, you know, to protect your rights as a citizen of New Mexico, for example.
Right.
But they also do advise the actual folks in the government. So they probably did, but you know how it is. These people get in government and they're advised behind the scenes that now this is
they just don't listen.
They want the publicity. Yeah. That's all they want is the publicity. You find something for New Mexico. I'd bet this bagel, this 99-cent bagel that it's a Democrat, because that state is just, it's been run by Democrats for years. It's one of the poorest states out there in the nation year after year. So anyway, it looks like this will fade away. I hope it goes to court, though. I know some gun groups have filed court cases on this one. And even if it goes away here within, what is it? We got about maybe 25 days left. I hope they actually take it to court and follow through.
Right.
So that way other governors, but this is a good, so this is an optimistic thing. This is a good sign, because even though she tried something like this, the fact that now Democrats are coming out and saying, hey, wait a second, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, is, I think that's good news. So
I'm glad there was the pushback there was, because, and that's what needs to happen more is someone does something dumb like that, that is in no way constitutional, and everyone knows it.
Yeah.
She needs to be called out
on it. She needs to be called out big time. And hopefully the voters, I don't know if they have term limits or anything when their election is for governor. I hope the voters step up and say, you know what, this person's a real idiot.
Yeah.
You know, right. So good news, I guess. We'll, you know, keep fighting for these things as we go round and round. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I have a new giveaway, by the way, up on the website. We added Rob Wilson yesterday. Not only gave us a cough button there for the yeah. for those sitting across from me, but he also put in it's an $85 value. It's introduction to handguns.
Oh, okay.
So Timberline Firearms and Training Introduction to Handguns course is really cool, and I'm glad that he did that. Go to talkwithjeff.com. We've got other great prizes in there as well. Sign up. You can enter more than once per month. I think it's once per week. We got that again. It's talkwithjeff.com. That's talkwithjeff.com. All right, coming up in hour two of the program, I do expect Glenn Least with WT Wealth Management. We've got a lot of ground to cover. I always appreciate when he comes in and gives us market updates. So I hope you'll stick around for that. And if you're listening to the podcast, skip ahead to hour two if you want and check that out. But Glenn wants to talk to you about your portfolio. Look, trying to change what's going on. Strategically position your portfolio after things hit the fan is probably not the best strategy. I don't tell you how to invest. I tell you to learn as much as possible. I've told you about all different kinds of asset classes on the show over the years. Glenn's come on this program. He's talked about real estate, bonds, stock market, gold, businesses, you name it. That's what I like about Glenn. So I think it's worth for you to at least give Glenn Least a call, get a free complimentary consultation with Glenn, see if he's a good fit for you. He shares a lot of the same values that I do, so I really appreciate that about him. Give him a call, Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. It is Wednesday. It might be a different day if you're listening to the podcast, but here's the deal. Sportsman's Bar and Grill always has great specials going on. You're not going to break the bank. You're not going to have to like go out and get a 22% loan to go buy some great, like chicken wings, because Wednesday is half price wings. And they got some great sauces that they put on those things up there. I would be cautious, though, about the ultra. I can't remember what they call it, but they have this really, really hot one there. It'll burn you. You'll be gone. You're just gone. Anyway, half-price wings at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Voted best sports bar in Flagstaff many years in a row. Check it out just north of downtown Flagstaff, right up there in the Bash's Shopping Center. Great drink specials. The $4 menu, like I said, and so much more. Stop on by Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Get some great food. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
On the gun issue here, there was an incident, I guess. We can't even really call it that in Flagstaff. It was Tuesday, I think. There was
I got a text from our school that our kids are at that there was an incident at MEMS, Mount Elden Middle School, which is very close, like a block away from their school.
Yeah.
And it didn't go into specifics, but it said that the school that our kids are at was locked down for like 10 minutes, just, you know, business as usual, no big deal, but just so that we were aware.
As a precaution.
But I didn't know what happened.
Well, what happened was a student reportedly at Mount Eldon Middle School, this is a Flagstaff Unified District School, reported that they saw another student with a weapon. And they reported it to teacher or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody. And it caused the lockdowns in the area, the schools all around it, including the Flagstaff Christian School right up the road. Then they went and found who the supposed person who had the weapon was, and the individual was identified and no weapon was found. Mm. So I think we want to be extra cautious. There was also a shooting yesterday, I guess, a school shooting.
Yes.
Somewhere in the country.
I can't remember where now, but I think one kid got killed.
Okay. So, you know, these things happen, and so you want to be on extra high alert, right? But the reality is, what I get up worried about is we've created a culture of just everybody's worried all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and okay, it was a false alarm, and that's better than the alternative,
well,
right?
They say it was. I mean, the kid could have gotten tipped off and then he threw it in the trash or something. You never know. I mean, thorough were they?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're usually pretty thorough, right, on this stuff. Anyway, FUSD notified parents that we're grateful for the reports that have been made by our students, which allowed this threat to be investigated immediately. This is another reminder that we all must remain vigilant and support one another to keep everyone safe in our schools. That's Flagstaff Unified School District Superintendent Michael Pence. I can't believe that guy's still there.
I know, right?
Our kids, as you know, if you're listening for the first time, they do not go to FUSD schools for various reasons. But here's the question I have. Some schools, especially in bigger cities, have the like metal detectors.
Yeah,
they have like security guards
the
posted
fence around the whole property. Yep. And metal detector security guards.
We've been asked a question. Were you going to cough? You got a cough button. Rob bought you a cough button.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I got a cough.
Okay.
It's that bagel.
And real quick, there was yesterday, there was a student killed and another arrested in a shooting in high school in Louisiana, and two injured.
Yeah. I wonder if it's in New Orleans area. Or
it says Greensburg, which I don't know where that is.
Okay. There's been so many problems in New Orleans, Louisiana, back to what we're talking about, New Mexico. The states that battle for like the poorest states in the nation, it typically bounces back between Louisiana mm-hmm. and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm not relating the incident or anything, but just as a matter of fact. Anyway, here's my question for all you out there, especially those of you who have kids in school, maybe grandkids in school. Do you want security? Like, do you want
like
somebody
a security
like,
guard?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Somebody that's there and noticeable that they're obviously carrying, you know, probably carrying a handgun or something, mm-hmm. right? And open carry and obvious, maybe security marked on them. Or do you want it concealed?
Yeah.
Or
both.
Or both or neither. Yeah. I mean, because we've been asked by our school if we want security
it's
guard.
Come up.
We're not going to get too much into that
yet. I
just
feel like, you know, you see or hear about the schools that have the fence around the thing and the metal detectors and all this stuff. And it just looks like a jail to me.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of a jail. And I'm like, I don't want my kid dropping off in jail every day. I know it's not jail, but it just reminds me of a jail, and I just hate that feeling that our kids would be like so.
They feel like
I don't know,
they're.
You just feel like you need to be protected at all times.
Well, yeah, they
like
feel
that.
Unsafe. Yeah, yeah. They're like, well, why are there chain link fences all around everything? Why is there such concerns over safety? Why did we have 5 lockdowns this school year? So then they're always in the world. We never thought about this stuff.
No, I drive by the high school I went to in Tucson. North Tucson, and there was no fence around out at the time that I went, and now it's like the big metal fence around the entire property.
Yeah, it's like a little prison camp down there.
I know.
So that's my question. Exactly. I mean, what do you balance? Because I've talked about this a lot this week because it was the 22nd anniversary of 9/11 and how much everything changed, and we securitized and militarized everything over the past 2 decades. And everybody, well, remember, see something, say something, see something. Remember mm-hmm. that in the early on in the war on terror. Maybe and 30% of the country doesn't remember that because they weren't born. Mm-hmm. They had the threat levels all the time. You were always on alert. There was somebody around the corner that was going to get you every second.
Right.
And the statistical odds of school shootings happen. It's tragic, but the statistical, the odds of that, statistically speaking, is very, very tiny. Schools are very safe when it comes to that. When it happens, it's tragic. But I think we tend to, we want to securitize everything. We want to make it so.
Well, we all want our kids. I want my kids to be safe. It's It's not about that.
Because you think, what if?
There is a balance between being secure and responsible, and you know, like enough secure enough that you feel okay about it, versus forcing them through metal detectors
and
every day,
and wands, and
being their backpacks searched, and you know, every time they turn around, there's a security guard watching everything they do, and it's like, I don't want that either.
Yeah, I don't want that either. So anyway, another option that's looked at least in the private school realm, public schools, this would forget about it. They should do this. I've been a strong advocate of the air marshal program. There's somebody on a plane that's armed that you just don't know about.
Yeah, you don't know who it is.
You just don't know. And kind of in the blue states that went all gun control for so long, and people in them that put up the signs in their house that said, this is a gun-free home, which to me equals a sign that says, please rob me. Yeah. I have no defense
those
mechanisms.
Those signs all disappeared.
They disappeared because people
started getting robbed.
Yeah, because people realized how monumentally stupid that is. Here's what I would do. I would allow in our schools those administrators who are properly trained. So you have to go through some kind of program for carry concealed. And I'd recommend concealed in this case. Carry concealed. They go through some kind of training course. And there's just a couple there. They're just in private school.
And you don't know who they are.
Yes, yes. And in private school, I that's allowed. And schools can decide to do that. Public schools, no. That's not going to happen.
No.
It should happen, though. And then you put some big signs up front that say, we have staff that are armed. Nobody's touching that, because these maniacs are looking for soft targets because they're cowards. They're psychopath, evil people. They're looking for soft targets. And if you know you're going into a place where the odds are heavy that there's going to be someone there armed to defend you.
Unless you get someone with a death wish, you know, that doesn't care if they get shot, or maybe they want to, unless you have that.
Perhaps
they're going to go to the next one. Yeah. I mean, which is still just as awful, but
but if everybody did it, because that's versus you've got the big chain link, razor wire fences practically, which, okay, maybe all schools need to have some kind of perimeter fencing, you know, so somebody just can't wander. Nowadays you got people wandering around the streets with, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. I was listening to another podcast, by the way. I don't get to listen to very often. It was Gerald Celente. He's been on the show a couple of times, and someone barged into their place while they were doing the live podcast. They're screaming at him, you know? So my point being is people wandering around, there's people doing crazy stuff. There's people on, I was reading a blog on survivalblog.com. Another person who's been on the show, Jim Rawls, and he had somebody, write a story about somebody who just walked into their house, not him, you know, one of his guiders or whatever, just came in and was like crazy, was saying, you know, I'm here representing Satan. You know, there's just nuts out there. So I think that perimeter fencing is probably important now, because then someone can't just wander in.
Well, I think almost every school nowadays has gone to completely locked doors, and, you know, that way no one could just walk in.
Yeah. So, but when you have just such a presence of where you start getting razor wire, metal detectors, random searches of backpacks, things like that, and then you have all these people in like uniforms patrolling, kind of, does it, and I ask all of you this, I want to know your feelings on this, does it give you a sense of security, or does it give you a sense of concern for your kids feeling like they're always, you know, in like a militaristic state? Or should we go to carry concealed or nothing? I just want people to gauge what's going on out there.
We talk about this when we went to Egypt years ago, that we got there to Cairo, flew in, and they took us, we had someone pick us up at the airport. They took us to the hotel we were going to, and there was armed guards outside the hotel.
Yeah.
And so we could come and go. They would let us in and out as we pleased, because they knew that we were tourists there and we were staying at the hotel. But then we were like, well, should we feel more safe,
do we feel more
or less safe?
Here?
Because why do they need a guard outside there? Maybe it's not as safe as we thought, or maybe we should feel safe because there's someone there that won't let it. They're just not letting anyone in there.
No,
it's
a good point. Yeah. So anyway, your thoughts on that? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in. We'll share those. I think Olivia's coming by later, so we'll try to get them on today's program. If not, we'll get them on tomorrow's program. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, I gotta go over there. Just Wireless. It's right there on Milton Avenue, right as I-17 comes into Flagstaff. Man, they got a great line of refurbished phones. I've got a real problem with my phone. I made the mistake of, it's an older phone. This is an iPhone 6 or something. It's old, I know. And I made the mistake of updating the software because I wasn't getting some things to work, and it's just going really slow now. So what I'm getting at is I think it's reached its life here. So I got to go get a new-to-me phone at Just Wireless, refurbished phone. They have a great line of refurbished phones, which is great for your pocket. It's also great for the environment. Also, if you've got a phone that's not quite as old as mine, maybe even this phone is worth fixing. I'm not sure. Maybe it just needs a tune-up from Just Wireless. Look, they can do new batteries, charging ports, crack screens, and all that. Just Wireless right there on Milton Avenue. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. It's a company that Angela and I have been using for years to make sure we have the safe windshields because we get a lot of rock chips. You're going to get them, too, if you're new to Northern Arizona. Just wait till those cinders hit. Call Diamond Auto Glass first. They're going to take good care of you. Mention the show. Mention the Jeff Orbit show. They'll take real special care of you. Get those rock chips filled in a matter of a couple minutes. And if you need a new windshield, they know what they're doing as far as the tech as well. 928-779-4140. 928-779-4140. Or thedifferenceisclear.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
If you're thinking about buying a home, don't waste your time being misled by teaser interest rates on the internet. The first thing you should do is call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. As Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, Nova Home Loans offers local decision making like a bank with better access to more programs like a broker. That saves you time, effort, and money. Kim's going to show you how much cash you really need and what price range you actually qualify for. With Kim's pre-approval letter in hand, sellers know you're serious. It's almost like having cash in hand. For purchase or refinance, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. And by the way, if you mention a Jeff Orbit Show, you can get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458 or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, big surprise here. This one I found interesting this morning. Pills that don't work. The FDA, an FDA panel, so these guys get together. They say that phenylephrine, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's the most common ingredient in allergy relief pills. I think like Benadryl, things like that. There's a whole list of them that uses it. They say it doesn't work. And they're looking at it further. They said that they looked at like placebo people, you know, taking the fake pill or whatever, that there was
Benadryl's
no difference.
Been around.
I know.
Forever.
I something
How
don't
could they
see,
just be figuring this out some, now.
Yeah. This is like, we're talking decades and decades.
Yeah.
So this is the FDA
well,
that,
you know, they also said that like ivermectin all of a sudden didn't work. And
well, it's like the COVID vaccine works great.
Yeah.
You know?
hydroxychloroquine or whatever that other one was during COVID. And that, you know, that one been around for decades and all of a sudden, oh no, that's not effective. That's not safe. And
this stuff's been around for decades.
I mean, our kids have gotten poison ivy. Isabel has hives from like seafood allergy. She's allergic to cats. I mean, we've given Benadryl for years.
They
and it
take
all,
it. And
it seems to work.
Well, yeah, but they take it and it goes away. Had you not taken it, would it have gone away? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Because is it just a time factor and you're thinking, oh, it really worked, but it was just you went to bed and woke up and it wasn't there? I don't know. They're saying it. Just saying it doesn't work. So I don't know if they're going to pull it or what's going on. Remember a couple of years ago, I had those, there was those heartburn pills. Remember it had some, I can't remember which ones it was.
Zantac, I think.
Yeah.
I don't want to say for sure, but I think that's the one it was.
Yeah, whichever one it was. Now we're going to need to look that up and we'll do it next hour.
I think it's that one.
Yeah. Don't do it now because we don't have time, but, we'll look that up. But there was a heartburn pill and the active ingredient in there, they said caused cancer. And I was like, well, I took some of those for a couple of years. Yeah, and it was like an over the counter one. So just, you never know anymore. All right. A couple things here. Please subscribe to the podcast. Appreciate everybody who's done that. We do video. So if you're on Rumble, follow us on Rumble. Which one is it?
That's the one it was. There's lawsuits and stuff.
There still was. Oh, great. Yeah. Great. So I kept the pills just as evidence. So, there you go. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Rumble. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, all that. Appreciate everybody who's done that. Also, next hour, I've got Glenn Lease coming by, talk more about the economy. I've got Olivia coming by with some of your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Appreciate everyone who puts in those comments. And the giveaway. Great giveaway going on right now up at the website. Go check that out. You're out of here, I guess.
Yeah.
You're going on driving around duty.
Yeah. Kid retrieval.
Kid duty. Go buy me some more bagels.
I will go broke doing that.
Go broke doing that. All right. Hang tight. Back in a few. I've been going out to Timberline Firearms and Training for many years now. Look, if you want to bring your firearms skills up to the next level, this is the place to go in Northern Arizona. Timberline Firearms and Training is just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Why don't you call right now if you're new to firearms? Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're an expert. They've got great training that'll bring you to that next level. Timberline Firearms and Training, 928-526-7900. Or take a quick drive 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. When you get out to Timberline, you're going to see they have a great line of Liberty safes. They've got firearms, ammunition, accessories. There's so much out there. Plus, they're great indoor shooting range. And I want you to go out there right now and also take advantage this week of Tuesday. If you're in law enforcement, they have law enforcement shoots for free at the range. And don't forget, every Thursday is Ladies Day. All day, you get $11 range time. That includes one gun rental, and you just got to buy the range ammunition. Like I said, Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, or call 928-526-7900 to book one of their training opportunities right now. That's 928-526-7900, or go to timberlinefirearms.us. Hi, this is Jeff Orvitz, and I started flagstafforlease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4lease.com. That's flagstafforlease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at flagstafforlease.com, or call 928-526-7909. Flagstafforlease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This segment of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
This is the Jeff Orvitz Show.
So I went out today, and I've been telling you, I've been stocking up on things that I think are, I don't know, just real things that people need, right, Olivia?
Olivia's here with bagels.
Me. Bagels. Well, yeah, last hour was bagels.
No, I saw the pictures. They don't keep very long, though. And I was like, ooh, there are bagels upstairs.
Yeah, 99 cents. Yeah, if you missed last hour,
now, so.
We're talking about Bidenomics and Bagelomics. Bagan, that's a tough word. I don't know if that one's going to spread its wings all over the place. And I had a report on how hard of a time people are having in the Biden economy, and it's not a good sign. So I've been telling people, hey, I want to stock up on real things because I don't trust that the inflation numbers are actually correct. I don't trust what's going on with our economy. And also I'm concerned, and for those watching the video, this is a little lighter.
You don't destroy the studio.
Rack some things here. I'm holding it up here. This is my my new chainsaw, and Steel is not a sponsor of the program. They should be, right? For all the stuff that I own of theirs, right?
men's collection.
Slide this back over. I was going to fire it up here in the studio. Maybe if I had bought the electric one, the battery one, could have done that. But no, I'm a woodcutting guy, and I think more and more people should do that. So I bought this saw today. in Flagstaff, went right in the store. There was tons of gas-powered steel and other brand chainsaws. I got this for about $200. It's the model MS-170. Actually, it's 220. I've spent a little more for a couple other features, but this model 170 is like $200, right? Gas-powered, 16-inch bar, for those of you who know what that is. Basically, the chain is 16 inches long, so you can cut a decent size log. I have a bigger one. I have a Farm Boss as a 20-inch or 22-inch chain or a bar, and that thing's heavy. You've lifted it.
Oh, yeah. You always make me carry it through the forest, and I'm, like, dying.
A couple hours of cutting, and you're like, oh, man. But I bought this more of a delimmer and for smaller diameter stuff. And I'm there looking at the battery-powered stuff. Oof. It's expensive. It's a lot. Yeah. It's double.
Because you have to buy the battery, the extra battery for when the battery runs out, because it has like just a tiny bit of time in it, and then the charger so you can charge the battery.
Battery's not bad.
And the actual chainsaw.
I have a steel battery-powered weed whacker. You've used that one before. It has a big battery pack. It is a cheaper battery, though. It's $100. You can buy one that's like $300. The equivalent of this chainsaw, though, this gas chainsaw for the steel that has a 16-inch bar like this one, that's battery, is doubles, $420. So double the price, but that does not include the battery. The battery, and I have this open here on Steel's website, the battery is $300. Where did it go? It's $300.
And the saw was $400?
Yeah, yeah. So
dang.
So you're at $700. I don't think that includes the charger. So what's the charger cost? Where's the charger at? Charger's another $100. No, 179, 180. So what are we up to? Let's call it $900. $900. So do you include the, in this comparison, should I be including the battery or not? I think I have to, because you can't run it without the battery.
But also in comparison, you have to include the gas.
Yeah, okay.
For the other one, cost for that, because that'll...
Okay, so I buy a 1 gallon government gas can that sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Those are,
and
like,
then you have to buy the 25 stuff bucks. That you can fix it.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so...
The nozzle or the...
Let's just say you have a gas... Okay, let's say you have a gas can. Let's say you have a gas can. I got to get a gallon of gas in there, which is $4, and I got to buy mix. It's like $5. Let's call it $6. It's $10 for me to get a gallon of gas, and I'm going to fill up this chainsaw about 8 times. 8 to probably 10 times with $10 of liquid of petroleum. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is for the gas saw. So the battery one, which looks like a good saw, I wouldn't mind owning it, but I just can't swallow $700, you know, or what did I say? $900 with the battery and the charger. Okay. So, and this is just an equivalent for this saw. This is a smaller 16 inch. This would be like your starter saw kind of thing. $200 gas. 16-inch bar, so you can cut decent-sized stuff. You ain't going out cutting big stuff with this, but you'll get by. You'll get some firewood
What you could cut with this tiny little twigs that they're like, they allow you on the permit of like 8 inches and like 5 feet tall or whatever.
Look, I'm sorry. I need to start over. It's biomass. It's a biomass saw. Remember, it's not firewood anymore. It's biomass. So... Yeah, it's just we gotta call this stuff the right stuff, Olivia.
Oh yeah,
yeah, definitely. Biomass. Anyway,
whatever they decide.
No, so I'm just I've told you that my goal is to stock up on more of this stuff, and
you know, because it breaks so quick.
Well, not only that, but I think that these gas engines, these small engines, in a few years you might have a hard time finding them. So I think there's a lot of value right there. As the disclaimer says on the podcast, though, it's very small print at the bottom. I don't give any financial advice. So if you buy 83 chainsaws and lose your rear end on it, that's your own fault. So $900 versus $200. And let's be honest here. If you're going in the woods and you're cutting, I've been told these batteries last about 40 minutes or so. I guess it depends on how an aggressive of a cutter you are and how much wood you're cutting, right? You go out and cut firewood, you want to get it, let's say even a half quart of wood, you're going to need a second battery. I mean, you can't go out to the forest without extra fuel, right? So you need a second battery.
There's no way.
You need a second battery at another $379. So you're looking at $9, $10, $11, probably $1,200 to get this saw compared to $200. Doesn't make sense to me.
It never does. Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
It's like, what's the benefit here?
Yeah, what's the benefit? So it's maybe a tool you have if you have money to burn at this point. And now keep in mind, this chainsaw, and this would be true for all kinds of different power equipment, with small engines, gas engines versus battery power. This chainsaw is not anywhere near as capable as my, I didn't even see a model that's capable as my Farm Boss, which is it's either a 20 inch or 22 inch bar that's on that thing. I can't remember. This thing will not cut as much, not even close. So the battery powered one wouldn't be an equivalent. You can't even get that. So in California, they have passed a law that says you cannot, they're not going to be able to sell, where to go, the small engines coming up in 2024. That's next year. 2024, they're getting rid of that, and they're going to 100% zero emission for off-road vehicles and equipment. That's next year. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to, what's going to happen to their...
I can't. People cutting wood. Watch it all fall apart.
Yeah, it's insanity. So anyway, just some equivalents there. I just wanted to tell you, since I'm in the market for this stuff, and I'm going to be buying more and more stuff like this and extra stuff, because I think that the government, unless we change things with, you know, Bidenomics and the craziness out there, I think that this kind of stuff is going to become harder and harder to get, or they're going to destroy it. You know, like they're just trying to destroy the dishwasher, the oven range.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm buying my stuff now.
And they already are destroying it.
I'm buying my stuff now. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. That's talkwithjeff@iCloud.com. And you can go subscribe to the podcast too, and you'll see a video of the chainsaw or a picture. Nice picture. We should do a demo for people. Okay, let's do comments. This one, I think, hit on yesterday's show and had some follow-up. What do you got?
Yeah, it's Carl in Cottonwood. Kay. I enjoy your show and listened on the 12th, yesterday. The topic was driving on I-17 and an encounter with a driver in the left lane who would not move to the right lane. Mm. Your guest stated ARS, Arizona Revised Statutes, states a driver can and should use their horn and flashlights, high beams, to signal the other driver so they can move out of the way. I've been an Arizona peace officer for more than 20 years and am well-versed with the ARS, especially Title 28, which is the transportation section.
Mm-hmm.
The statute your guest quoted is correct.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carl, and thanks for doing the job that you do. We need more peace officers, and we need talk about a vital service out there, right? And in driving around and in even being out there, Olivia, on the forest, remember a couple weeks ago we were out there cutting firewood? And people are going crazy with the UTVs. Obviously, not enough people out there to cover the areas that who are
law enforcement. If there was someone there.
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't have been doing
that. Law enforcement, you're talking, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so yesterday, Mark Out was on the program, and he was talking about how he came up behind someone on I-17 that was doing 60 miles an hour that was clearly distracted by their cell phone, which is, you can't do. That's a law, illegal issue right there, you know, doinking on your phone while you're driving down the freeway in the left lane. Like,
wow,
what at a 60 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Now, the speed limit is 75 in most of those places on I-17.
Yeah, it's dangerous to go too fast. It's also dangerous to go way too slow.
You go so slow, and all of a sudden,
especially in the left lane.
The left lane, there wasn't a lot of traffic. So Mark came up behind this person and was flashing his high beams, ding, 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 and beeping, right? And I said, well, Mark, it sounds like a aggressive driver. It sounds like somebody's going
to
go nuts.
Just a little bit. I don't think I'd want Mark to get mad at me on the road.
So guy, Mark, I can't remember if he said he passed him on the right lane finally. The guy went, or maybe the guy finally moved over or something, and he flipped him the bird, you know, the middle finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, okay, I don't know with your generation if you know what the bird is. Is that, do you guys all know what that is?
It's called context clues too, though.
Context clues. See, you are smarter than me when I was your age, and probably even at this point, because I wouldn't have known what, that's the first time I've ever heard of context clues. That's a thing.
Seriously?
Huh?
Oh my god!
Anyway, so Mark gets flipped off, right? And I was like, Mark, is this really a law? I mean, this sounds like you're going to get in trouble, like for like stalking or something, or that's not, like aggressive driving, right? No, it is. And thank you to Carl. Was it?
Yeah, Carl.
Thank you for Carl. Here it is. It's ARS 28723, overtaking a vehicle on the left. The following rules govern the overtaking and passing of vehicles proceeding in the same direction. The driver of a vehicle overtaking another vehicle proceeding in the same direction shall pass to the left of the vehicle at a safe distance and shall not again drive to the right side of the roadway until safely clear of the overtaken vehicle. except as blah, 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 bunch of stuff. Except when overtaken and passing on the right is permitted, the driver of an overtaken vehicle shall give way to the right in favor of overtaken vehicle on audible signal or blinking of headlamps. So it says right there. So you come at nighttime and shall not increase the speed. So headlights at nighttime and shall not increase the speed of the overtaken vehicle until completely passed by the overtaken vehicle.
I mean, I still wouldn't want Mark to get mad at me, but he was right.
So no, you're right. So there is a law on that. I remember Sheriff Mark Lamb was pulling people over in Pinal County. He was going around and he made videos. Drivers. He was deliberately pulling people over who were driving in those left lanes. So I guess Mark knows what he's talking about, and so does Carl. So I appreciate that. All right. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Keep those comments coming. That's Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, if you need to refinance your home, I want you to call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. That's what Angela and I did last year. We refinanced a multifamily investment property. Whether you're in that market, investment properties, or second homes, or your first home. Maybe you're getting your first home. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she's going to be able to help you out. Here's the thing. Nova Home Loans is Arizona's biggest, largest privately owned mortgage lender. They can act like a bank, though. They can also act like a broker. So they find the best deals for you out there, and that's good for you. And look, here's another thing that's good for you. When you call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, you get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Here's Kim's number, 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Last hour, by the way, Angela and I were talking about home ownership and the challenges there. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that if you missed that. And like I said, also call Kim Dawson. Whether you're refinancing, new home, new purchase, anything like that, she'll be able to help you out. 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Welcome back. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com, and please subscribe to the podcast or follow. Got the video already up on the begalomics of how inflation is just crushing everyone in America right now. So check that out on Rumble. Look up Jeff Horvitz and follow that. We also have a new giveaway. If we want to help you out.
Yeah, it's the September giveaway. Super easy to enter.
Almost 2 weeks late, but hey.
Yeah.
We just drew the winner 2 days ago from August. Yeah, we're there.
You can still enter. Go to talkwithjeff.com. Right at the top, it's giveaway. Click to enter in big letters. So click on that. It's really easy. You just fill out just name and email and stuff like that. And
we
leave
want
us
a comment.
Some kind of comment that we can read.
Not just like, oh, dude.
Hi.
Hi. This is my entry. Now, let us know something. Share something. Share something about your life, a life story,
questions,
something going on in your
too,
community,
whatever.
Questions, comments, things like that.
And
what do we got?
Once we draw it, the winner will get $50 at Sportsman's Bar and Grill.
Nice. Food helps with inflation.
And more food. $50 at Namarco's Pizza.
More food.
$85 at Timberline Farms and Training. It's an intro to handguns course.
Any kind of gun training is good. You could actually go out and get food.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you could get food.
Yeah.
Go and train.
There you go.
And then you could get more food.
Yeah.
And, to pay for the gas, a $50 cash debit card courtesy of Gettles High Desert Mechanical.
Okay, that's a good one this month.
It is.
I think we'll add to that too, because I've got a couple other sponsors that have emailed me that have been lazy and haven't emailed them back that said they have some gifts as well. So we'll update it as we can. Go to Talk With.
Probably more to come.
Yeah, talkwithjeff.com right on the top there. You'll see it. And I hope you'll sign up, and you can do that once per week. So you got a couple weeks here before we'll draw.
Yeah,
supposedly
we won't
sometime
be
in
so
October.
Late next month.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know. Okay. You got another comment.
Yeah,
this one came from YouTube, I believe.
Mm-hmm, from Brandon. Zach is a true American farmer. He's a pro's pro when it comes to farming and one hell of a nice guy. What a great interview. Thanks for the insight and the challenges the modern day farmer has to deal with.
Yeah, and you're referring to the video that's still up at talkwithjeff.com. It's still on YouTube. It's not. We're not going to make it disappear. It's only one or two down on YouTube and Rumble. Zach Hauser, Farmer, something like that it's titled. And we talk about the challenges when it comes to farming, water rights. This was a really good interview, and I hope you'll check it out. And Zach is my go-to guy because I am an amateur hobby farmer that needs a lot of help, right, Olivia? I mean, we're doing pretty good.
We did better this year, I will say. Yeah, yeah,
we're pretty far.
Our first bell peppers.
Yeah, finally, like, bell peppers.
Which I am so happy about. I love bell peppers.
Yeah, finally, bell peppers that look like bell peppers. You know, that,
like safety.
Yeah, like the, like, normally they just look like these tiny little things, and they're, like, half-eaten and stuff. This is, like, looks like a bell pepper you would professionally produce. So we're pretty proud of that. But water rights is a big issue. And I do see that I got an email from the town of Camp Verde because Zach brought up the fact that SRP has put a claim since, I believe off the top of my head, since like 1913, like claiming most of the surface water that runs through most of the state. I mean, it just came in and it's like, it's our water. And I was like, okay, wow. They own all the water, huh? And you know where it all goes. It's all going down to Phoenix. Down in Maricopa County. And he said there's litigation going on right now. He also mentioned that, hey, they could do something down the road, like try to meter people's wells. They've been talking about this for years. So I'm trying to learn more about that because that concerns me, and especially our listeners in especially the Verde Valley, probably even Presque area, Chino area, should be paying attention to this because there is legal wranglings and things happening behind the scenes right now, where they could send you a notice and say, hey, we want to meter your well that maybe you had for decades.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? So anyway.
Well, I know we're always disappointed when the they divert the water in the creek.
Yeah, and Zach actually controls that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But like, I'm saying for water everywhere. It's just like that, how we're like,
They
no
want
more
to control
water in the creek anymore. So sad.
I smell a lot of problems with this one. But anyway, the town of Camp Verde sent me that they're having a water rights and adjudication meeting hosted by, and I think there's going to be some people from SRP there talking about what's going on here. It's Thursday, September 21st from 6 to 7. Looks like right there on Main Street in Camp Verde. I'm not sure if that's at the city hall there, town hall or whatever. I will put a link in the podcast that I got where you can register. I assume you just got to register to go to this meeting. I may actually go to this one because I want to learn about this. That's really concerning, though, that they got this claim on all this water. And people, there must be thousands and thousands of homes in the Verde Valley area that rely on those wells and rely on that water.
Ours included.
Oh, yeah. And so it's like he was saying, Zach was telling me that one solution you might have is to get away from the subsurface water. Like if your well's 30 feet down, you might have to drill a well down. I don't know where the next water table is.
And then
in the
they can't have any of it.
Well, yeah, because then it's the water down in the aquifer.
So it's not the surface.
Yeah, exactly. It's because they consider the water that's even running underneath, like subsurface right there, you know, near the top, that's the same water. So that's something I'm going to be looking into too, is can you drill wells deeper? What is a well down in Verde Valley to that next aquifer or whatever? Is it 300 feet? Is it five? Is it like Flagstaff where it's like 15? I know people that have 1,500 foot wells in Flagstaff, 1,500, 2,000 feet. In some areas, really deep wells. Because think about it, it's all cinders.
You don't want to fall down that.
Yeah. Well, they're small holes, but yeah. Yeah, it's not
I know, but when I think of a well, think of people falling down in them.
It's not like it's not like the old well, and like Timmy's in the well kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Send me an email. Love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And don't forget about going to the website and signing up for that giveaway. We don't have a free well or anything. It'll be the next thing. We do have, I think we're going to be talking with Glenn Lease when we come get a market update. So a lot of information we got to cover there. So stick around for that. And one more time, love hearing from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. All right, selling your home out there. It's a heavy real estate day. Like I said earlier, talked about real estate quite extensively earlier in the program with Angela. Check that out in first hour one of the show. If I was selling a home right now, I'd call Kelly Broadus because she knows what she's doing. I mean, bottom line, I'd call Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group brokered by eXp because that's who I call right now to come on this program and to give you real estate market updates, to tell you what's going on out there. Kelly and her team, they're going to take the time to sit down with you. They're going to discuss your selling goals. They bring data from previous home sales to show you what you can expect. And this is a journey when you're selling the home. Believe me, if you've only done it once or maybe never, you need somebody on your side like Kelly Broaddus who knows what they're doing. And it's an interesting market right now, to say the least. Look, you're selling a home in the Flagstaff area. Kelly's the person you got to call. 888-446-5602. Google her as well. Check out all her great reviews. Broaddus. It's Kelly Broaddus. And also NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com, where you get instant valuation from her website. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona has been with us for years. Man, do I appreciate their longtime sponsorship, but what I really appreciate is all you who have gotten back to me to say this is the best gutter protection system out there that deflects all the pine needles, multi-patented reverse curve. It keeps all that junk out of your gutter so you don't have to go up on your roof. Most of my neighbors have gotten Gutter Helmet, by the way, but one neighbor that hasn't, they had somebody over there. They're 2-3-story house. This thing's pretty big up there with the leaf blowers cleaning out those gutters. If you don't want to do that anymore, you don't want to clean your gutters, you don't want to go up on that roof, and with winter coming here before you know it, then you need to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, because he's going to get you this great system that has a great warranty that's fully transferable. Text or call Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, 928-318-6555. Mention the Jeff Orvich Show, get up to 35% off. Best deal ever. 928-318-6555, or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com.
Give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orvich Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Orvich Show. This is the Jeff Orvich Show.
All right, Glenn Lease joins me fresh off the road from Oregon.
Yes,
Seattle, Oregon or Oregon?
And Oregon, two places.
Oregon. There's a whole controversy on that, you know. Was it weird? Isn't there a slogan like in Portland, like keep it weird or stay weird or rob me or no laws or something like that?
So we actually traveled to visit my wife's brother, and yeah. He lives in Bend, Oregon, the Bend Redmond area, which is interesting because there's different parts of Oregon that are very, you know, different from the Portland area.
Oh, yeah.
Portland is one particular, you know, set of policies and, you know, one ideology, set of ideologies. And you go to the rest of the state and it's, you know, more hardworking people, more reasonableness. And when we were driving through Portland, Oregon, it's funny because we're driving from Oregon up to Seattle to do another thing. And I was on the freeway and I was telling my kids, hey, this city, you know, you can just take stuff. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, they made it so you can, you know, take stuff under $1,000 or whatever the limit is. And my daughters are, you know, 7 and almost 9. And they're like, that doesn't seem like that makes very much sense. Like how do businesses stay in business? And I go, yeah, it's a great question. How do they?
Yeah.
But no, it's interesting because, yeah, the rest of the state has a very different vibe from even the Portland area, but I didn't actually stop in Portland. I just passed through.
Probably best. Yeah. I think I stopped there a few years back. I think they have a cool fisherman's wharf and stuff. It's a man, what a beautiful coast.
Yeah.
And in south western Oregon, which I think is more conservative leaning, we actually did like some boat tours. I can't remember where that was at.
Oh, it's beautiful out
like,
there.
Like jet boating up this river and stuff like that. You know, it's
lots
just
of water.
Yeah, yep. Really cool and beautiful. Remember Goonies? Doesn't that? Yeah. That was like somewhere up there, you know, that scenery. Oh, nice. And all that. So, well, parts of Oregon want to secede from, and parts of Washington want to secede from the state and go over to Idaho because they have no say, you know?
Yeah, I don't blame them. I think Northern California has the same issue. Yes. With, you know, the metro areas of like San Francisco. San Francisco being very different from the Napa Valley wine country, northern California, very different mindset. People, you're going from really, really dense city areas to rural areas. And so, yeah, that's...
It's happening in a lot of places. And, you know, I wonder if it's going to happen more because... So last hour, Angela and I were talking about some of the numbers. I think it was the Bureau of Labor Statistics or one of the government agencies. I can't remember. That the... the income has actually gone down. It's going down under Bidenomics, adjusted for inflation and everything.
Yeah.
And you know it. People are having a hard time. Uh-huh. 60%+ living paycheck to paycheck. And yeah. we were going over what it costs to get a house now. So mm-hmm. asset capital things have inflated tremendously because people need to put money places. We're comparing our first house to what it would cost to get one now.
Yeah.
How much percentage of your income it takes mm-hmm. per month to get into that house. And it's like three times what it was when we got our first house. It's crazy. So you've got some market numbers. I mean, what's going on? Cause you got this guy going around fumbling around the world,
yeah.
preaching Bidenomics. I'm like,
what do you got to whisper it too.
It's yeah. working. It's working. It's like it's if you do more than a whisper, it really disappears, right?
Yeah.
What do you got? What's going on? And is there?
I think the easiest statistic we measure is boots on the ground. What it's like for you and I just to make ends meet, and even more so those that are just getting started or are having young families. It's just even more challenging. And I was on the phone talking with my little brother today, who's about 8 years younger than I am, you know, wanting to get into a home. And he was voicing a lot of his frustrations with, it's just so expensive to get into a home, even in Flagstaff, where this has been home for the last 20 plus years for me and my family. The prospect of actually getting a home that's affordable, that's reasonable in Flagstaff, maybe a manufactured house you're looking at in the $400,000 range. Yeah. And when you look at the interest rates, that could be a...
Kelly Broaddus told me they popped 8% on the 30, just like last week.
I think I was running numbers. It's like if you did a $400,000 mortgage, put 5% down at 8% for a 30-year, your mortgage is going to be in the $2,000 range, maybe even as much as $2,500.
That's on a $400,000
home. Yeah, $400,000.
So exactly. Last hour, Angela and I gave an example. I won't go over all of it again. You can re-listen back to that podcast. But a 600, the median price home is like 700 or something. So we were figuring the home that we bought for, she said $90,000 in 1999 is now $600,000. We were paying $650 a month. Now with an 8% interest rate, the payment was, and I'm going to lose it here, $3,800 per month. And that's with putting 10% down.
It's putting 10% down.
And the median household income has now gone down under Bidenomics. Median income in America now is $74,000. So do that math. How do you get there?
Yeah, and I think I was listening to some song, one of the bands I was listening to, and it said they had a lyric that said, you know, it's much harder for us to make, you know, you were able to just, you know, the prior generations were able to just skate through because everything was so much easier. But now we're facing the same things and it's much more challenging. And in fact, I had that same reality a couple years ago when I was looking to try and buy a house and my mom was, you know, said something in fact, oh, can't you just find a house for like $250,000? You know, we bought ours for $280,000, you know, however many years ago. And that's just the reality. It's just, it's not there anymore. $600,000 house, $700,000, even like a starter needs a lot of work, fixer up house, maybe $400,000 if you're lucky. Oh, I don't even know in Flagstaff.
There'd be a bidding on that. You'd be lucky at five or six, I think, to get what I call the junker that you're going to use elbow grease. Sweat equity.
Yeah, sweat equity.
And you know all about that, Glenn.
Yeah, I got a lot of sweat equity going on with one of my properties. But it does... beg the question, what does that look like for the future generations if we continue this trend? And I don't think the trend is getting any better because we have a lot of compounding influences that are just, you know, a lot of variables that are adding fuel to the fire, whether it be higher inflation, they keep printing more money. We've got large asset managers like BlackRock buying up large tracts of property and houses. And so then it becomes even harder because if you have more people, less people controlling more of the market, you know, they can determine prices and the cost of, you know, homes go up. So there's all these compounding factors that I don't want to be pessimistic, but I definitely recognize the challenges of what we're facing.
Glenn,
today.
It's a challenge. And it's also, I would put this out as a warning because if it becomes too out of whack, too out of equilibrium as far as being able to buy these things and being able, the mass of people to be able to get by, that's led to very bad things in the past in civilizations.
Yeah. French Revolution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let them eat cake, you know, or whatever the slogan was. And, you know, then off with their heads.
Yeah.
It can lead, if you, and the millennial generation, especially is a big generation that's coming up, our generation, well, what are you, millennial?
Yeah, millennial?
We've gone over this before. I'm a Gen Xer. We're a little bit smaller generation. The boomers, which is a huge generation, is phasing out. I'm sorry. I don't mean it that way. I mean, my parents are boomers, right? But they're getting older.
True.
So
they're.
Their influence is waning. They're getting older. And they're going to start losing right now. And one of the things that came out in this Bureau of Labor Statistics report is that the least affected and impacted from this economic Bidenomics or whatever is the boomers, because they're very well established.
Yeah.
Your parents are a great example. They're like,
they're already,
oh, it's 250.
Exactly.
You know, just get one. It's like, they don't pay attention along. To it, though. They don't pay attention to it.
What about the people that have graduated college, maybe have some college debt, are looking to get married, start a family, and they're looking at their loan repayments versus the cost of living versus what the job pays versus what is the cost of, you know, buying groceries, and it's becoming a harder and harder equation. Now, we still live in America, still a land of opportunity, but that opportunity is getting harder and harder to make it to get the American dream. And so I think what we'll see is, you know, lower quality of life, unfortunately, is where you have people that are no longer maybe living on their own, but maybe having to have roommates when, you know, maybe it's a family that has to have a roommate and they don't want to, but that's just the reality.
You're doing it,
Or they live together with multiple people and you have more roommates. And so
It's going to be different.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, I think. And you're also going to have to make some tough decisions. Do you stay? Look, Flagstaff's discovered. And it is higher than most places in the state. That's the reality. But I know plenty of people who are down in Verde Valley who it's like, now stuff down here is 400, 500, you know, things like that. Tucson, I was talking to my father-in-law over the weekend, and it's like, the houses are 400 or 500. So that's normal. But you may have to make a tough decision and say, I'm leaving the state. I'm going to do what's best for my family. So I got to get ahead.
When we went to Seattle, we were actually on Whidbey Island, and beautiful island. It's amazing beachfront property, and we're going and looking at the housing prices, and I was shocked because I was, this is cheaper than Flagstaff. I could afford
on an
a
island.
Home here easier.
Glenn could buy an island.
an island home, which was really kind of a sad, just a commentary on how expensive it is to live in Flagstaff is when you can go buy an island home for less. You know, just as nice of a home, if not nicer. You could buy a stick-built home, 2,300 square foot, for like $400,000. Whereas Flagstaff, we're talking manufactured homes. So, yeah, I do think people are going to have these very real decision-making of, do I still live in Arizona or do I have to move to
or other
Kansas
places.
Or you know, Minnesota? And we've actually had family friends that had lived in Flagstaff for a long time. This was home, but they were forced to leave. They had a good city-paying job, but they just couldn't afford to be homeowners. And you can only rent for so long. You really, you know, you need to own a home eventually. That's just,
One thing Kelly brought up the other day on the show was that the average age or something of people getting their first home is now 36. Think about that. I mean, I know you got in young. And
That's about me. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it about your, that was
about
that age?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's whereas Mark was with me, Mark Hallett, the other day, and we're close to the same age. He's a little older, but we're both Gen Xers, right? We were like in our very early 20s, and that was more common back then. It was like, get in as quick as possible, as quick as possible. So changing times takes a lot of planning, though. You know, it takes a lot more than it used to. There's no denying that. Things are absolutely changing. All right. Love your comments. Go ahead and get those in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Appreciate everybody. What are you doing? What are you dealing with out there? Your situation, what are you seeing, especially with maybe your kids and your grandkids? Send us an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. All right, don't forget it is Wednesday, which means Wing Wednesday at my good friends over at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. That's a way you can save some money on your food costs, because half-price wings is something that's pretty dang hard to find nowadays. So head on over there. Plus, they've got great drink specials at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. They've got their $4 menu. I don't know what Wednesday has on tap for that, but you can get something for $4. You could get a drink special. You could get something for $4. You can watch some games. You get out of there for a reasonable price. Usually they have the great pozole. I know on Fridays they've got the clam chowder. So head on up to Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. All right, and I also want to thank Allstate Insurance Agency, Boatner, the Boatner family. They do a great job. We've moved our policies over there, right? And they've been able to save us a bunch of money, which is good. I like saving money. Plus, they've offered great service. You know, I vet everybody that's with us here on the program. And it took us a couple years to get comfortable and to say, hey, this is the place we're using. So I hope you'll give Eric Boatner and Lisa Boatner a call over at Allstate Agency at 928-774-8722. That's Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency, 928-774-8722. Final thoughts here in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, here with Glenn Least, and if you're watching video, yes, and if you weren't listening to me and Olivia in the beginning of this hour, that is a chainsaw. And if you're going to buy a home, you got to factor that into the cost as well.
You got to have tools, right?
Yeah, you got to. There's a lot of people. My neighbors, they know I have all the tools. So they're like, can you come cut this? It's like, can you come do this? And now we have that small tractor, too. So yeah. We're like, we're the coolest house on the block. And we got a wood stove, so if it hits the fan, or sorry, a biomass stove. You know, it hits they're all in our house.
I think it's a sign of me getting older when I actually go to Home Depot and I'm excited. Like, okay, what kind of tools can I get? Like, what kind of projects can I do around the house? Right?
Yeah, I love it. I could own, it's weird. You could own all this stuff and never have enough. I could have 10 of these chainsaws and weed whackers and yeah, I'm a nerd when it comes to that. Okay. Well, what we got planned for you, and this will be on, later on in the week plus podcasts. Glenn and I are going to spend some extra time after this and we're going to go over AI.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That
one, if you couple what you and I were just talking about, the problems people are having now and the younger generations coming up, and then you couple it with AI and the displacement of jobs.
Yeah.
That could mean, man, talk about changes.
Knock on wood, hopefully the emergence of AI is a good thing. It makes our lives better, but there's also the argument to be made that it makes our lives harder, you know, because it's, you know, people get, you know, they lose jobs or they're not able to find employment because AI has replaced them. And having high unemployment numbers for any nation is not good.
No.
It's very destructive and very toxic.
Especially with youth.
Yeah.
You have a young population that has high unemployment. So maybe we'll get a guaranteed minimum income as well.
Yeah, you have too many unemployed youth and you have a Clockwork Orange happening, right?
Yeah, oh man. What a movie. Talk about nightmares. We'll get into all of that. So I hope everybody will join us for that podcast and then the show that will air later this week. But I hope all you have a good night. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And also, I'd appreciate you signing up for the giveaway on the website. Have a good night. Take care. See you soon. If you're looking to bring your firearm skills to a whole nother level, call my friends at Timberline Firearms and Training. They're just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Really easy to find. Great indoor shooting range. All the accessories, firearms, ammunition, Liberty safes, everything you can imagine there. But I love their training courses. They've got something for everybody, whether you're new to firearms, maybe somewhere in the middle or at that expert level, they're going to take you to a whole nother level. They got carry conceal courses and also their once a month free is good. Free Stop the Bleed course. My whole family took that. That could save your life, your family member's life, even a stranger's life. Call Timberline Firearms and Training. I think you're going to be really happy with what they're teaching out there. Do it quick, though, because these training courses book up pretty dang fast. 928-526-7900. That's Timberline Firearms and Training. 928-526-7900. Timberline Firearms and Training at 928-526-7900. Or just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, you'll find Timberline Firearms and Training right there on Highway 89. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, you know, that's when the rock comes up from the road and it causes that indention, that chip out of the shield before it starts spreading. Don't let it spread, because then you're going to need a whole new windshield. I want you to call Diamond Auto Glass first. Don't call your insurance company. Don't make a claim, because most of these places, they're running it through a nationwide glass shop. They're letting them answer their phones. And of course, that's where they're going to send you. And that may cause delays and may take a lot longer to replace your windshield. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Right on 4th Street in Flagstaff, repairing a chip will stop it from spreading. It's going to save you from a costly windshield replacement. Done that before. We got a rock chip when we were pretty far away from Flagstaff on one of our big road trips. And by the time we got back to Flagstaff, it was pretty much, you know, spiderwebbed all across. Diamond Auto Glass got us a whole new windshield, though. And by the way, now if I get a rock chip in my windshield, and this will pertain to you as well, you have coverage. You have chip repair warranty going forward. No appointment needed. Just stop on by. Most repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Hi, this is Jeff Orvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com, or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity.